All right, we are going to be in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Now, we're going to acknowledge that the story does continue on a little past that, but we're not going to go all the way to the very end of that section. And I've got, as our title, we got to fill in the blank. And so we're going to discuss what we're going to talk about today. So we're just going to go ahead and read our text, John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? All right, so what is our I am today? Did anybody find more than one? The good shepherd and? The gate or the door. Why are we getting both I am statements in the same text? By the way, this week is going to be the door. Next week is going to be the good shepherd. Why are these two illustrations bound together? Doesn't it seem muddy? If Christ is supposed to be the door and the shepherd, how can we be both things in the same illustration? And what we're going to see is the door or the gate or the gatekeeper is all the same thing. And the shepherd can be that very thing. So the same person can be both the shepherd and the door. So we're going to talk about what a door is, because that makes sense. That, Steve's just like that door. The door to the sheepfold is what we're going to be talking about. So let's just talk about how they dealt with their sheeps. If you had a desire to house sheep in a single place, you would find probably not like post and rail fence, you know, wooden fence and a water trough. That's probably not what you're going to find. They're either going to use a cave or they're going to have an open area with a stone wall around it, right? There is not probably going to be a hinged door at the entrance. So if we have our enclosure, it's going to have a closed dish spot. How big is this spot? About the height of a shepherd. So the shepherd, when he brings his sheep into the sheepfold for protection or maybe for the night, he will then lay in the doorway, and he's now the protection of the sheep while they're in that enclosure. So it's a person that's the door, not a hinged gate. So when we're saying door or gate or gatekeeper, that's actually all the same person. What do we find inside the sheepfold? Well, we have sheep, and they will be dots. We have some sheep. What else do we have in there? We have some other sheep, and they will be bigger dots. And what else do we have in there? We have still other sheep, and they're X's. Why are there so many different shapes of sheep? What? They belong to different people. Not everybody has their own sheepfold. You just stick the sheep in there. So do we have a pile of three shepherds in the doorway? Keeps the sheep from jumping over. No, they take turns. Somebody will take turns in here. Right? The other two shepherds, they finally get a night off. Right? But when it comes time in the morning to come and get the sheep, how are you going to come get your sheep? If you're the ex-sheep guy, what do? You call them. Jesus says you call them by name. They know the shepherd's voice and they come out. So the exes have just left. Right? The one who leads the big blobs, he calls them by name and they follow him out. So what keeps the little dots from following everybody else out? They don't know the voice. Okay, so this is what we're talking about when we're talking about sheep, shepherds, doors or gates. All that stuff is going on there, so when they hear shepherd, door, they know what he's saying. Did they know how he's the door? No, they don't, but we're going to discuss how he can be a door. Can we see, though, that the shepherd can be the door, but he doesn't have to be the door? Very simple thing, but I think we need to see that. So I have a question for you. What's the point of sheep and shepherds? I think that's a great answer because sheep are stupid. Somebody hid my coffee. It's over there. I talked to somebody and they asked me, what do you do for a living? I tell them I'm a dairy farmer. You know what reaction I usually get? You just love cows. No. I hate cows. I hate cows. Okay, to put this simply, if we didn't make money with those cows, we wouldn't own a single cow. Everybody following that one? Now, I do know some people who are cow huggers, right? And they pet them, and they sing to them, and they lay on them, and it's so much fun, and you don't make money hugging cows, right? So after a little while, how many cows do you have? None. You ran out of money. Okay, when we're talking about a person who's in animal husbandry, it is a business. It is not a game. It's not a family. It's not fun. It's a business. It's a business like any other business. Now, you have to be good at it, but what's the intent of your business? To make money. Why would you need money? Clothing, food, houses, raise your children. Go on a vacation every once in a while. You know what the intent of the sheep-shepherd relationship is? Benefit of the shepherd. How often when we talk about Christianity and we're the sheepfold, it's all about us. It's not all about us. We might be his sheep. It's to benefit him. Now, if I've got cows and my job is to make milk with those cows, how about let's say it this way, to manage that dairy farm. There's actually four things that a cow produces. Milk. That's the last one. We'll get to that last. Meat. Babies. And poop. We're not going to say that because they'll get edited out. Manure. It's manure. Okay? Those are the things that you're managing on a dairy farm. You're going to maximize the efficiency and the throughput of all of those things in order to get the most money out at the end. Why? To benefit the people who own it. So I obviously hate cows, right? You're going to come on our farm, you're going to see them whipped to pieces. Right? Dead cows give so much milk, you'd be amazed. Actually, the healthiest, happiest cows you can find are the ones that give the most milk. So if we're intent on benefiting ourselves, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that those animals are healthy and happy, fed, clothed. They've got bedding, they've got a dry space, airflow, I mean, the whole deal. We're going to work so hard to make sure that they are the best cows that we can make them, because that benefits us the most. So if you're wondering why God would care one whit about you, it's because he has a desire for the world to see how amazing he is. And since that's his goal, he's going to pour everything he has into you. So with that as a mindset, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, are illustration. Truly, truly, I say to you, which, by the way, the truly, truly is I'm telling the truth really, really a lot. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Let's say somebody walks in the doorway. Friend or foe? Friend, because the door let him in. Let's say somebody crawls in through the wall. Friend or foe? Foe. He obviously doesn't believe the doorway is going to let him in, so he's going to go in from an illegitimate way. And that word is something that's not in the scripture, but it's what I'm going to lean on heavily. The idea of being legitimate. L-E-G-I-T-I. Okay. How can we pronounce it with an N? Legitimate? Legitimate. It's experiment. No? Okay. The idea of being legitimate, you're going to come in the door if you're legitimate. If you're coming in through the window, you're a thief. You might be in the sheepfold, but you're not, and you might be even mingling with the sheep. But you are not a legitimate participant in that sheepfold. Continuing on. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So who's coming in through the door? The shepherd, the one who has the right. He's the legitimate one. Now, we are going to make these two illustrations somewhat muddy. So who comes in through the door? The shepherd. But later on we're going to say that the shepherd has it to where the sheep can go in through the door. So let's not let the illustrations get confusing and muddy. What is this in our world? What is the sheepfold? It's not the church. And it's the church. That confusing? Okay. We have one option for the church and two options for the church. What is this building? The church. Who comes here? The church. All of them are saved, right? So option one for the church has some unsaved in it, and it has some legitimate people in it also. What's the other church? The universal church, the kingdom of God. How many of those are unsaved? None. They are only the legitimate sheep of the shepherd. So when we're talking about Peace Hill Valley Church, we get that not everybody here is saved, right? There's people here who are sheep of the Good Shepherd. There's also people who aren't sheep of the Good Shepherd. We have the X's and dots and blobs thing going on here at Peaceful Valley Church. What is the enclosure? It's the local body. What is Christ's point? Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Okay, this idea of the enclosure. I have sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. There's a difference between the sheepfold and the flock within it. Christ's point is to get the right flock, not just in the right area, but it's the right people. Where are they going to go? They can go in and out wherever they want to. Once he has called them by name. So let's not get stuck on saying that the sheepfold is the church as in Peaceful Valley Church. Right? It's the place where we gather. It's the community. It's the demographics. It's the geographical regions. It's the church in a way. But if what we're saying is, hey, the door is here to protect bad guys from coming in, Christ screwed up because he already said there's some thieves and robbers in here already. So when we're talking about the door, there is an aspect of it that is protection. Right? He's going to keep outside influences to a certain extent, but what happens if the outside influence crawls in through the window? They're going to be in among us. The idea of the protective nature of the door is not from outside influence. It's actually from internal squabbling. It's a purification role. Are you in here? Awesome. Did you come in through the door? You are legitimate. Why were you legitimized? Because of the relationship with the door. Okay. Lots of information here. Verse 3. So who comes in? The shepherd. To the gate, or to him, the gatekeeper opens. How can he be the gatekeeper and the shepherd in the same illustration? Like, to him, the gatekeeper opens. If this is back in Israel, and you've got Fred laying in the doorway, and Fred's like, I'm ready to get my sheep out. Am I going to let me in? Fred's just going to go get his sheep. Okay, so the relationship between the door and the shepherd can get somewhat muddy, but we got to separate these out. To him, the gatekeeper opens. Well, yeah, that's Christ too. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He leads them out. I thought the point was the sheepfold. No, the point is the flock. He's going to lead them out. He's going to lead them in. He's going to take them where he's going to take them. Are they going to go out to pasture? Because this is not pasture. It doesn't take very many sheep in an enclosed area to make sure there's nothing there to eat. Right? They're laying on it and they're doing stuff on it and there's nothing to eat anymore. Right, this is a place of safety and protection, but when it comes time to eat, then they're going out and they're going around and they're following the shepherd around. The point is the flock, not the sheepfold. So, verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In his discussion, this is not spiritualized at all yet. He's just telling him how it is. Right? They already know all this stuff. But there was a figure of speech, and they didn't understand what he was saying. So verse 7, Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Who came before Jesus? So the Jewish leadership? Prophets? Were all the prophets good? So we have some bad prophets in there. We have some kings and other leadership. Next week, we're going to deal with him as the shepherd, but as a preview, we're going to turn to Ezekiel 34. The idea of a shepherd for the people, that kind of an illustration. We actually saw it with Moses. When he was about to pass away, he prayed that God would lead another shepherd to lead the people of Israel, and God suggested Joshua. So the idea of a shepherd leading the people, old, old idea. So when we get to Ezekiel, God has some things to say about the shepherds. Probably not talking about actual shepherds and actual sheep. Ezekiel 34, the word of the Lord came to me, which is Ezekiel. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. By the way, don't those shepherds actually have a correct understanding that it's supposed to be about the shepherds? They actually have a part of it close, but they don't understand is the intent is still supposed to be life. After all, what do you do with a sheep when it's full grown? You're probably going to eat it. or send it to the temple and they'll kill it and eat it. All right. They just didn't go about doing it right. Verse 4. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they are scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, and they wandered all over the mountains and on every hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth, with none to search for them. This idea of the shepherds being there to care for the flock of Israel is an old idea. How many of those shepherds were doing it right? Well, at least in this section, they were doing it wrong. We see that all over the place. We just started a Bible study with our kids, and we just opened up 1 Samuel. Cool. Eli, what a great guy, and his kids. They're priests too. And they were terrible, terrible priests, leading the people astray. By the way, did you notice in verse 4, we actually have the negative statement of the role of the shepherd? The shepherd is supposed to be there to strengthen the weak, right? Seek after the lost, things like that. If we skip ahead a little bit, God's going to tell them stuff, and he's going to tell the sheep some stuff because everyone was doing it wrong. We're eventually going to see, though, that God is going to provide something that is himself. So he's already talked to the sheep about being fat and lazy, and he's talked to the shepherds about being bad. Verse 20, therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. We're going to look at that a little bit more next week, but we see that this idea of the shepherd being not only an important role, or a role appointed by God, we see that when men take that role, they falter. They do it wrong. So what's God's plan? He's going to send the shepherd. Boy, you think the people would have thought of that when Jesus said that he was the good shepherd? I think probably that would have been making the wheels turn a little bit. But when we're talking about the issue of the door, protection from outside, protection from inside, purifying the flock, all of this is done and taken place as an illustration that the people already knew and understood. Who is it that Jesus here is talking to? The religious leadership is listening to this. Right? If he's going to start talking about things like that, they're going to start going, wait a second, we are the shepherds. And you say that we're doing it wrong. There would have been a lot of animosity going on there, which is why in verse 31 of John chapter 10, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. So this is a heated argument. This is getting pretty intense. And yet Jesus is still standing there saying, I am the door to the sheepfold. When he's saying that, if it's a purifying thing, if you can only enter into the flock legitimately by way of him, what actually are we talking about? How do you come in through Jesus? Because that's really the message of him being the door. Salvation. So we have an issue of salvation. How salvation? We have an issue of surrender. How do you get saved? We're going to knock. There's a root word that we're looking for here. Okay, there's a seeking. There's repentance. Belief in what? The message that Christ is giving. I've been reading John and 1 John a lot recently. I can't even count how many times he says, you have to hear the message. You have to believe the message. And we've even talked about that in the last couple of series. It's the message. Now, once the message is heard, then we have belief. That belief is going to turn into surrender and repentance. And you're still trusting the message of Christ. So what is the message of Christ going to have to do with being a door? What's it going to have to do with being the sheepfold? Why is it that there are sheep in here? What was our message last week? I am the light of the world. His truth statements that he gave throughout his entire ministry, leaning on the Old Testament and prophesying what's going to happen after his time on earth, that is the message that we are intended to believe. And I love this illustration. If God himself had a message for you, if he had one thing to tell you, and he takes you up on top of this mountain, right? And Jesus is there too. And boom, Jesus is shown in his deified state. He's transfigured right before your eyes. And there's Moses and Elijah, and they're there too. And God speaks from heaven. What message is God going to give you? This is my son. Believe the message. That's what God had to tell you. In the most amazing experience that James, John, and Peter could have possibly had, the point was believe the message that Jesus is giving. What was his message the entire time and they never understood it? It's actually the message that he tells them on the way off the mountain. I have to die, be buried, and raise again. Stop talking. We're fighting about who's best in the kingdom. Right? And they're arguing about that. They did not even hear the message. You know what? You want to know why there's sheep in the sheepfold? Because they believe it's safe there. You want to know why there's people here at church? They believe it's safe here. They think that they've found something important, something safe, something true, something even eternal. How many of them are right? Only the ones who came in through Christ. This sheep here might have come through the door. He is safe. This sheep who climbed in over the wall, he's not safe. It's the point of coming in through the door that guarantees the safety. It's not being in the place. It's being through the Christ. All right. So, John chapter 10, verse 7. Again, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. You see how we're still talking about a listening to and believing the message issue? Didn't the people listen and believe the false teachers? It seems like they did. What's Christ saying there? How can the called sheep, how can Jesus say that the called sheep never will be led astray? That's kind of a weird statement. And I guess the only thing I can throw at that is the identification as the sheep of the shepherd, of the good shepherd, is still the belief in the message. It's the belief in the message. If you claim to believe the message, and yet some other message comes, you're like, yeah, I like that one too, and you chase after it. Had you actually believed the message? I guess that's where the doubt in my mind comes in. If you've got 10 different voices speaking, all kinds of truth statements, if you're actually of God, if you're actually filled with the Spirit and in His Word and led by Him, it seems like the one that you're going to hear and agree with is the one that the Spirit is going to be teaching you. And all the other ones should not quite sound right. Those voices shouldn't be very recognizable to us. Now, for a point of conviction, if those voices do sound pretty good, we got to get back into the Word. If you've been called by name, you have to learn to recognize that voice. Hear it over and over and over and over. All right. Verse 9. He's going to tell us again, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You want to know what that is? That's assurance. Absolute safety. Oh, but you went outside of the sheepfold. That's fine. You're identified by the shepherd who knows your name. But inside the sheepfold, look at all these great people that we have. We have these leaders, and we have miracle workers, and people who cast out demons in Christ's name. Aren't they sheep? Aren't they sheep of the shepherd? Well, Christ said, some people are going to come to me, and they're going to say, I cast out demons in your name, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't know your name. That's a scary thing in the sheepfold. Aren't we in the right place? Every one of us knows in our hearts, are you actually trusting Christ? Are you actually trusting Christ, the actual Christ, not the one that you think is there, or the one dressed up like him, actually Christ? So, if you have trusted, it's good. Anyone who enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. In the opposition, verse 10, the thief comes in only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Right? The point of the shepherd-sheep relationship is to benefit the shepherd. How does the shepherd receive benefit? By pouring everything he's got into the sheep. What about a thief? Has anyone ever heard that story of that thief who broke into a convenience store, but there was no money in the till? And he ran the store for a couple hours? Did anybody hear that story? It's been about 10 years ago. He actually ran the store, and he was taking sales and giving change and the whole deal. And this is enough, and he just took it and left. What would he have done if somebody came in and held up a gun? Give me all your money. Just a second, I'm already stealing the place. I don't know how that works. The thing is, the thief is not there to benefit the business. The thief is there to take. Now, thieves and robbers, the original language points out thieves being people who take stuff by means of deception. A robber takes things by means of violence. Both of them are within the church. And neither of them are there to benefit the shepherd. They're just there to kill, steal, and destroy. Christ, on the other hand, came that the sheep might have life and have it abundantly. And then verse 11, I am the good shepherd, which is going to be next week. He's the door this week. That's what we've been looking at. And my hope is that we don't just immediately go, oh, shepherd, and he leads and feeds, and now we're better off, and now we're okay. What I want us to see today is he's the door. If you want to be part of his fold, you come in through him and him alone. Right? And plus, there was nobody in there before he showed up. And that was a hard lesson for the Jews to hear. We're already good to go. Well, no, you still got to come in through me. How many other things bring people to Peaceful Valley Church? Because I'm pretty sure not everybody here has come in through Christ. Not everyone has come in going, I believe the message. I trust his blood to cover my sins. I absolutely believe in his forgiveness and my justification through him and my promise of eternal security. I don't think that's everybody. Other sheep? Which, that one's hilarious. I've talked to guys who came in because there was a cute girl who goes to this church. Well, he's in the right spot. Other sheep. What?
It takes all kinds,
yes. Are we okay with that? Should we be okay with that? The person that you're rubbing shoulders with. They're okay because they're here. You know, there's one part of this illustration that falls short, and that's the role of the sheep. The sheep are supposed to be out seeking sheep. Hey, sheep, come here. I want you to hear the voice of this guy. Right? I want you to hear the message. And that doesn't follow in the illustration, but if in Ezekiel he's going to take time to yell at the sheep, the thing that he yells at them for is being fat, meaning you're just there eating stuff and not caring about anybody else, and there's some lean sheep that you're pushing out of the way. We should be helping those sheep to eat also. Right? Now, you spend time on a dairy farm, cows don't do that. They will beat other cows up to get to that spot, even if there's less feed in their spot. They get this huge pile of feed right here and go steal that. Cows are stupid. Sheep are stupid. We're stupid. Amen, brother. So, if you have been called by name, and it's by name, it's not, hey, anybody can come in. It's you, right? It's Josh. It's Josh. Are any other Joshes? It's Emily. It's Jeff. It's a by name. I know your name. You're mine and I've chosen you. I've taken you and I've made you eternally secure in me. Right? If there's nothing else that we take out of this, there's two things. If you have come in through that door, there's no greater peace or hope or life than being in the fold through that door. For those of you who you have that idea that you're not, right? Maybe you came in by another way. Even if it's something as good as I'm the music pastor, that's not enough. The music pastor entrance doesn't exist in the sheepfold, right? Right? The missionary entrance doesn't exist either. You know how many missionaries get on the field and realize they're not saved? That is crazy. Okay? Assurance comes from trusting in the voice of the shepherd. And we come in through that. Have that reassurance. But if you haven't, man, you got to talk to somebody. I'm here. Cody's here. Steve is here. We got to talk. If that assurance is not there, if you hear the voice of Christ, which is his truth that comes from the Word of God, and you're going, maybe. I want to talk to you. All right. We're going to go ahead and close a couple minutes early. Give us some extra time to have some coffee and snacks and stuff. Oh, just a second. I'm going to pray first. All right. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for being our door, the one and only way. Lord, I pray that you would be teaching us to be listening to your voice and paying attention. I pray that you would be leading us and we would be following, helping us to see that those are actually two different things. But Lord, lead us and also bring us with you. Teach us to follow you. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to love the fact that you have called us by name and we have entered into this thing through you and you alone. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.